you open your Bibles back up? If you brought your own Bible, we're in John chapter 14. And this is, if you're using the Bible here, it's page 1675. Just keep your finger in there, because I want to refer to a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples when they're feeling pressure in their lives. The reason they're feeling pressure in this particular passage of John is because Jesus has just told them that he's leaving. And just like in your mind's eye, just imagine what that would have been like for the disciples who have been traveling with Jesus for 3 years. Suddenly he tells them, I'm leaving you. And they were feeling a pressure. So I'm just going to refer, just keep your finger in that just for a few minutes. We've been talking in church about what grows in our lives when the Spirit is with us. And we're talking about peace today. That in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit, peace, will grow in our lives when the Spirit comes up alongside and walks with us. And I always remember, I remember lots of songs that have the word peace in them. Peace Train is one of them. I remember on the White Album of the Beatles when John Lennon sang, I'll give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind. Which is amazing, because John Lennon was a Beatle. Like, I'll give you everything I've got. Just honest words. But that's all we really want in our lives, is peace of mind. And the Bible says the peace that Christ brings will be a fruit that grows in your life when the Spirit is walking with you. And the disciples are feeling all this pressure, because Jesus just told them they have to leave. Jesus says, peace will be with you. I promise you that. And they asked Jesus, well, tell us how that's going to happen. And he did, which is what we're going to look at. I was remembering when I was in high school, I used to lift weights a little bit. I know I've been running for about 30 years. And the problem with running is that you get skinny from the waist up. So I'm thinking I've got to try to get in shape, my upper, like resurrect the six pack, you know what I mean? But I was remembering that in high school we used to lift weights. We had a 1970s basement with 70s wood paneling, and we had a bench that we'd lay on, and we'd just get together, guys, and we'd just practice the chest, what do you call it? The press, the chest press. And we'd stand there, and we would put weights on the barbell, try it, then put a little bit more on, try it, then we get to the point where we just couldn't lift it anymore. And I think that our lives are like that sometimes, that we get under a barbell that is just too heavy for us to lift. And I think we all have heavy weights in our lives. Some of us have weights that are way beyond 5 and 2.5 pound weights that we put on the end of the barbell. We have huge weights. We can't even imagine how we're ever going to pick those up. But so often the weights that we try to carry in our lives are just small weights, just the little 2.5 pounders that we put on the end of the bar, but one right after the other starts to get just like too much weight. And all those things add up. And Paul says they rob us of the peace that God wants us to have. Because this is what God wants for you, is peace. And Paul wrote, writing to the church in the Greek city of Corinth, he wrote this, we are under great pressure beyond our ability to endure. How much longer can we keep the bar up, Paul says. Things just keep adding up, one weight put on top of the other. Well, when we were goofing around with weights as kids, even then we knew that we just had to have the biggest guy in the group just stand over the bench and just ready to spot if he couldn't carry the weight. And so John was the biggest, this John that was our friend, and he would just stand over, and we had to barbell, try to press it up, and we couldn't do it. He would just put his hand on it, he would just lift it up. Everybody needs a spotter. And that's the picture that Paul's giving in the Bible, all through the New Testament. When it was Paul, when he was feeling great pressure, and he was forced to call upon God, this is what he says in the same letter. Let's not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul consistently points back to the empty tomb. As if to say, if God can raise the dead, that same power that is with you now, what can that same power do in your life? Let's not rely on ourselves. And please understand that the love that we have for each other is huge. I mean, that's powerful. And we talk about that all the time in this church. Friendship, family, that love that we share with each other lifts us up and helps us all the time. But Paul's saying, even beyond that, there is a divine power that will help you. It's the same power that raises the dead. And as powerful as we can be to each other in our love for each other, sometimes we fail at that because human beings are fickle. And Paul's saying, look, there is a divine power that can help you. When you have a bar on your chest that you just can't lift, let's not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises up the dead. And so in your mind, just sitting now, I want you to just in your mind's eye identify the things in your life that you're imagining is a heavy bar on your chest. It's not easy to imagine those things. We don't want to imagine them. But whatever it is, this is a haven. This is a sanctuary. This is where we bring those things to God. So what are those things? Some of you have really huge weights that you've been carrying for a long time. And others of us just have these accumulated weights, this 2.5 pounds we just keep putting on the end of the barbell, that all of a sudden we realize that we can't lift that weight anymore. And you're thinking of those things in your mind's eye now. Look, if you're here and the weight of everything going on in your life is crushing you, and we know what that feels like. Every one of us knows what that feels like. And you feel you just can't hold up the bar anymore. Jesus has a message. He wants to give you peace. And it's a fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about. When God is with you and the Spirit comes up alongside you and lives inside you, that fruit of peace will grow in your life, and it's a promise. It's a promise. And so you have your finger in the Bible in John 14. It's one of the most fascinating pieces of the Bible, because they're just having a conversation with Jesus, the disciples are, and they know that he's talking about leaving, and that's causing some stress. Who's going to calm the storm now? Who's going to change water into wine? What about the miracles, Jesus? What are we going to do without you? And there's pressure, and there's this weight suddenly that they're carrying. And so Jesus seeks to reassure them. And he has a conversation with them that begins in this chapter 14 in John. And at the beginning of that, the passage that talks about Jesus preparing the place for them, he says, trust in me. He says, don't be troubled. The future is taken care of. And then in verse 26, Jesus says this. 27, sorry. Now let me back up to 26. He says this. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, it's an interesting way that Jesus describes the presence of God as an advocate, that when we're in life and something is hurting us or troubling us or being unjust to us, the Holy Spirit is like an advocate that argues in our favor and defends us. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And then verse 27, I leave you with peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And throughout this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, Jesus says, you're going to have trouble, but don't be troubled. Over on the next page in chapter 15, the world hates the disciples. You'll go through trials. You won't have an easy road to walk on as my disciple. But don't let your heart be troubled. You'll have troubles, but don't let your hearts be troubled. In chapter 15, Jesus promises trouble 3 times in this conversation, but then 3 times he promises peace. And we think, well, how does that work? How does that work? And while Jesus makes it very clear that he'll bring peace, he also makes it very clear that peace is different than peacefulness. That's a really difficult distinction for us to make, but if we can't understand the difference between peace and peacefulness, we're going to be harboring disappointment with God and maybe some disillusionment. We think when Jesus says peace, we think he's talking about peacefulness. But Jesus says, I'll give you peace, but you're going to have trouble in your life. When Jesus says, I give you peace, what we think of is, I'm going to give you a good doctor's report. Or I'm going to give you the job that you've always wanted. When Jesus says, I bring you peace, we think he means, I'm going to give you a perfect marriage. But what he promises is trouble in this section of John. There is in life trouble. But then he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. He promises pressure and persecution. But then he says, I give you my peace. And we're like, well, how does that work? How does that work? In the midst of trying to keep the bar up, Jesus promises peace. But this pressure is still there. Well, how does that work? The first thing he says is, when the pressure is on, you're not alone. Verse 18, I don't leave you as orphans. And many of you know that when life is hardest, God is the closest. I don't leave you as orphans. You're never alone in dealing with the things you have to deal with. When we used to try to get out of the house when Haven was little, she's 17 now, but we used to try to get out for a movie, or even if we had to go to the church for a meeting, the first thing that Haven would ask us is, who are you leaving me with? I mean, are you going to leave me alone? Am I going to be an orphan tonight? We said, no, Grandma's coming over. One of the two grandmas. We were lucky we had two grandmas. I said, she's fine. Oh, Grandma's coming over. That's all right. Because she knew she wasn't being left alone. And then when we took her up to Camp Karen, which is the Presbyterian camp for kids that everybody just loves and talks about, they do a fantastic job. She'd get out of the car and just walk away. We'd be lucky if we got away from her. And we wouldn't see her for another week because she knew that they'd take good care of her. We weren't dropping her off and leaving her alone as an orphan. She knew that somebody was going to be there for her. And what Jesus said was, I'm leaving. But I leave you not alone, but with the Holy Spirit who will be your counselor. That's another way he describes the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is advocate. Holy Spirit is also counselor. I don't know what road to take in my life. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will help you in that. Will counsel you to make wise decisions. And so Jesus says, I don't leave you as an orphan. I leave you with the Holy Spirit. And the disciples are like, wait, but we have the love for each other, don't we? Like, that will help. We have friendship. You've always taught about the value of community. And Jesus said, that's so important. But you guys are all just human. And as try as you might, your love is on this level. But this is a love that's on a whole different level. And that's the love that will always be with you. And there's nothing that can separate you from that. And so some parts of the New Testament, the Greek word for Holy Spirit means the one who lives in us. Some Greek words used in the New Testament for Holy Spirit means the one who comes up alongside. Either way, Jesus says, I want you to have that in your mind when you're going through a hard time or when you're feeling the barbell on your chest and you can't get it up. You can't lift it up. When you're at the cemetery and you're alone at the cemetery, you don't even have any loved ones or friends. Jesus said, remember, I don't leave you alone. When you walk out of the doctor's office with news that you didn't want, Jesus says, you're not alone in this. Walk out of the lawyer's office with divorce papers in your hand. Like, whatever trouble it is you're going through, Jesus makes you a promise. You're not alone. And when you experience that presence with you, it will give you the peace in your life that you want. Peace of heart and peace of mind. What we see, when people are trying to hold up the bar and the weight is crushing them, and you've seen this and I've seen this, instead of relying on the friendship and the guidance of the Holy Spirit with us, so often we push God away because there's a part of us that just thinks that God has done something or that it's God's fault or we're mad at God. Whenever we feel that pressure, we get mad at who God is. And then instead of relying on that presence, we push that presence away. There's a story that it helps me to understand this. I think it illustrates in my mind this reality that oftentimes we push God away when we're hurt, when God wants us to do the opposite. When our son Taylor was 8 years old, it was on a summer morning. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was asleep. And suddenly I just woke up. I just woke up because I felt a presence in the room. And some of you parents will know what this is all about, where you just feel a presence and you wake up and you look and your child is just standing right beside your bed, maybe 3 feet away. He didn't say anything. He didn't touch me. He was just standing there, and somehow I just knew he was there. He was just standing there looking at me. As in his hand, he had a little friend in his hand. Now, I should say that the night before, I'd put out a mouse trap. It wasn't the springy mouse. It was like a sticky pad mouse trap. Because it is so much more humane that they just get stuck and they die that way rather than being... And he was standing there holding a sticky pad mouse trap, and the mouse was still alive. And he was just standing there looking at me, and the mouse was looking at me like this. And so I took the pad from Taylor, and we went outside. He followed me out. And I tried to free the mouse from the sticky pad. Just one of his little legs was stuck on it. I was just trying to free him, and he bit my finger. He bit my finger strong enough to draw blood. And I just dropped it, and Taylor was upset, and he just went back into the house, and then I freed the mouse forever. Look, here's the thing. I think we do that in our lives when God's trying to free us. I think when we're hurt, and when we're in trouble, and when we're caught in something, and we don't know what to do, the teaching that Jesus always had reflected in Paul's teaching is that the hand of God comes into our lives and tries to free us. But so often, we reject that, because we think that God is something else. And instead of taking that help and allowing ourselves to be freed, we just turn our backs on that spirit that's present with us. 1 Peter says, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. Here's the last thing that comes out of this reading. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I can't say in any exact way how the Spirit teaches and reminds. I mean, there is a part of that that is beyond our understanding, that when God is with us, sometimes... And I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes there's things that just all of a sudden come to us that we hadn't thought of, or things that we're reminded of, and we just have no explanation for that. But one thing I can say more exactly is there are two things that remind us and teach us all the things that Jesus said. And that's the Word of God, and that's prayer. When we join our hearts together in prayer, and also when we pray alone, we're reminded of the things that Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit comes up alongside us that way. So maybe in your prayer later today, maybe in your prayer, the Holy Spirit will remind you to forgive someone, to not hold on to those weeds of bitterness. Or maybe you'll be reminded later today of Paul's words that you read maybe many weeks ago, maybe years ago. Paul's words that said, comfort those in trouble, just as God comforts us in our trouble. What peace there is in that, in those words. Or maybe you'll be reminded of the teaching when the Holy Spirit comes up alongside you, the teaching that said the end of this life is not the end of life at all. There will be a day when all things will be made new, and there will be no more suffering. There will be no more trouble. When the shadows of this life lengthen and the busyness of this world is hushed, there will be a brand new life. What peace there is in remembering that, being reminded of it. And so just to finish up, in this life, you will be surrounded by people who love you, who will give you good things, and there will be hopes and dreams that you have that will be fulfilled. But in this life, also, there will be trouble. For all of us, there will be. There will be some hopes and dreams that are never fulfilled, and there will be some people that have been a part of your life that will hurt you. There will be trouble, Jesus promised. But then he promised there is this peace. And Jesus said it's real. And God wants you to have it in your life. And Jesus said, if you seek this peace, you will have it. This is a promise. If you seek it, you will find it. Jesus said, if you ask for it, it will be given to you. That's a promise. Jesus said, if you knock on that door, the door will be open and that peace will come into your life. It's a promise for all of us here. May that peace, that is the peace of Christ, be a part of each of our lives now and forevermore. Amen.